is a lot of things. I believe primarily it is the restoration of our relationship with God.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
Good morning. Good news, especially if you watch the television news, always seems to be in short supply. 2017 has been no exception. There's been the usual spate of grisly murders and horrible instances of child abuse, ongoing trend of terrorist attacks, and instances like the Las Vegas shooting where the motivations are not even clear. Don't forget the church shooting in Texas. California is on fire. And as of the last time I checked, which was Wednesday, getting ready for this sermon, Puerto Rico still has not got 70% restoration of power. Following Hurricane Maria, and the power that they do have on keeps going back off. We thought political polarization had reached the utmost height in 2016 until we saw new heights in 2017. And regardless of your political or philosophical persuasion, probably someone you know of and quite likely admire has turned out to be a sexual assaulter, importuner, or worse. And of course, there's always North Korea for a good mood lifter. There has been good news. It's been a good year in the stock market. Unemployment is down. There are still random acts of kindness and heroism everywhere. And though no one got on TV for it, thousands of us kept our noses clean and were good to our children and kind to the women who work for and around us. And above all that, there's this. God is still on the throne. Amen. And God, as per the last point of my personal creed, has a bigger plan. 2017 years ago, give or take, things were largely the same, unless it may be said that the bad news for the people of Israel at that time was even worse. Rome not only overtaxed its subjects, but openly murdered babies in the streets of Bethlehem, crucified citizens of the village of Nazareth, up and down all roads out of town at every milepost for quite some distance. The Jewish leadership, both secular and sacred, was horribly corrupt, largely complicit in the atrocities heaped on their own people. And contrary to our experience, there was no opportunity to vote the bums out. You were pretty much stuck with the bums. And into the midst of all of that, some angels paid a surprise visit to a group of working stiffs to proclaim good news. Not only good news for that band of shepherds, not only good news for the people of Israel to whom those shepherds belong, but good news, they said, that would be good news to all people and all peoples. Really good news. And the good news was encapsulated in this: that very night a Savior was born to them. In the coming years, there would be a little bit of contention about what exactly that meant. Save us from what? Not a few drew the understandable but incorrect conclusion that Christ had come to overthrow the violent, abusive, oppressive Roman system and clean house among the greedy, power-hungry, corrupt Jewish leadership and set up a present theocracy in a wave of blood that would be shed in righteous indignation. Well, there was going to be blood. But that was as close as that point of view came to getting it right. But if the good news is not an immediate and decisive physical revolution against all that ails us, what is it? What makes it so good? It is a lot of things. I believe primarily it is the restoration of our relationship with God. And since I believe that all of our problems result from our fractured relationship with God, let me tell you, I also believe that on the day that repaired relationship becomes universal, all the other problems are going away. Going to assume I get these pages to quit sticking together. That would be jumping ahead a little bit in the Christmas series that I have in mind. I'm going to, for the next 3 weeks, consider the good part of the good news, what makes it good as promised by the angels, second chapter of Luke, verses 10 and 11. I've concentrated on three things. It is good news because everything you have believed and hoped in is about to be fulfilled. Point one. Two, it is good news because you will get to know God. Three, it is good news because peace will be restored. For today, we concentrate on that first item. It is good news because everything you have believed hoped in is about to be fulfilled. Your faith will be justified. I imagine that in large and small ways, all of us have been on both sides of this equation, but to really experience either side of it, you first must believe something. I mean, really believe it. Be convicted about it. You have to believe it even if nobody else around you believes it and they all think that you're stupid for believing it. You have to still believe it, but you do believe it. You go out on the limb. You stand alone. You put your money where your mouth is. And when push comes to shove, you're wrong. Gloriously, completely, indisputably wrong. Now what am I going to do with 10,000 President Kasich bobbleheads? On the other hand, you go out on that limb, listening to the laughter and the jeers of your peers. And to almost everyone's consternation, you're right. You're still the only one with 10,000 Kasich President bobbleheads. But now the complexion of that is different. Perhaps more seriously, though I suspect Noah was terribly grieved about all those people that drowned, I also suspect that he knew what I'm talking about as his long jeered and derided faith. I say long because I believe that Noah spent 120 years building the ark, that his long derided and jeered at faith was justified. The Jews, at least the ones who still clung to the old beliefs and hopes at the time of Christ's coming, had been at it for a lot more than 120 years. They had believed that they were God's chosen people ever since a day in the life of Abraham, 2,500 years before Christ. They had reckoned themselves God's chosen people. Chosen for what? The critics barked. For subjugation to the Egyptians, the Philistines, the Syrians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Medes, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. What's next in your career as God's chosen people? To be roughed up by the society of blind, octogenarian Swedish quilters? I'm gonna wrap you with their little thimble fingers? Everybody beats on you guys. Did you persist in thinking that you are God's chosen people? The Jews had to grit their teeth and endure centuries of such jeering, not to mention slavery and physical agony. And they endured it, they confessed, not because God turned his back on us, but because we turned our backs on him. But despite our failings, at least some of us still believe in God's perfection, his perfect power, his perfect plan, and we believe that we still have a place in that divine plan. We are not here to be everyone's eternal punching bag. God has a plan that will redeem all our failures and our sufferings, because there will come in the fullness of time, direct from God himself, a Messiah, a Savior. And when he comes, that plan of God's on which all our hopes are pinned will be advanced. Oh, sure. Just keep telling yourself that if it makes you feel better. You trust your coming Messiah, we'll trust our industrial military complex, and you will always be our slaves, and we like it that way. So keep right on with your delusions. Some of the Jews had finally broken down and agreed with the jeerers. A key part of the distinction between the Sadducees and the Pharisees was that the Pharisees were still waiting for, hoping for the fulfillment of the promise, waiting for the coming of the Messiah and the advancement of the big plan. The Sadducees had long since abandoned that hope. At least in beginning, part of their new policy of political realism was still about the people. If we're ever going to stop being the world's whipping boy, it'll be because we learned the way of exercising political power, the way that all the nations around us exercise political power, which is why they all give us such a drubbing. In other words, we have learned nothing since the sad days of Samuel when we first called out for a king. Of course, it means that we who are the realists have to be the ones to gain political power. And somewhere along the line, it ceased to be about the people at all and became, as it almost always does, about maintaining the political power that we have garnered as a group or as individuals, because it gives us wealth and prestige and comfort and immunity from prosecution. And you see, joining in the way of the world only confirms the evil of the way of the world, and confirms for us why God did not employ the way of the world in what he did through Jesus Christ. But not all Sadducees Many still believe. They believe that God had a plan and that it was going to be moved forward. Some of the Romans looked at those believers as useful idiots. The Pharisees, in their urbane sophistication, looked down on them as hopeless rubes. The Herodians laughed at them for their lack of political savvy. As the world would have it, there's still enough of the moronic religious fanatics around, enough if you plan to make use of them, way too many if they're just in your way, the fools, the chumps, the simpletons, still believing after all these centuries and disappointments. And the angels told the shepherds that good news had arrived. All those things you have believed in the face of such hostility, all those hopes that you have cherished through the long, long years are fulfilled in this baby. Promise is kept. Your faith is justified. Now the skeptics, of course, will answer, oh, for crying out loud, it's just a baby. This is the problem with you religious people. You can be strung along by anything. It's just a baby. And the shepherds, to whom the good news was first announced, could answer, well, a baby and a sky full of angels, which is a little hard to argue with. And a special star in visiting kings and the fulfillment of dozens of prophecies. And if those shepherds could have looked forward far enough, the shake-up of the whole world as untold millions of souls over a string of centuries put their hope in this baby and the man he became. And the good news he proclaimed. Good news. Everything you have believed and hoped in is confirmed and fulfilled. Your faith is justified. I would call that good news. Only the beginning, as I hope we will see in the next 2 weeks. But good news, just the same. Good news for those long ago shepherds. Good news for me. Good news, I hope, for us. Because I will tell you, I believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. I am out on that limb. I'm way out on that limb. I have pinned all my hopes on Him. And I have long since learned that He is out on the limb with me. I don't need a sky full of angels. I would not object. And I believe the day for such things is coming again, nearer every day. But I don't need a sky full of angels, for I have my present experience of Jesus Christ. I have seen how He changed the world, and I have experienced in my own person how He changed me. And I am well acquainted with the bitterness, the utter loneliness, the complete despair that settles on those peoples and places in the world where He is not accepted. And I know that however much bad news may prevail in the world, my life and times are better for the influence of Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of my hopes. He was the fulfillment of the hopes of those shepherds long ago. And He is the living hope of all peoples and ages. More about that again in the coming weeks. For now, I will simply say that I know my life and times are better for the influence of Jesus Christ, and I am firmly convicted that the day of His return is coming when every knee will bow and every tongue confess Him to be what I have known Him to be. Not only will my faith be justified, but He will prove the fulfillment of all hopes. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. In the meantime, there are moments, seasons, when the world, the hostile, jeering world, is moved just a little bit in my direction. Circumstances which open their closed hearts just a little bit to the hope that is my lifeblood. Christmas is such a season. At this time of the world always moves a little bit my way. And the hardened heart. Jack and I encountered one ringing the bell just the other day. But even that hardened heart, Jack, the reason he was fussing about things is because this time of year, you can't avoid it. And we should make it harder to avoid. Let us not lose the opportunity for just these few weeks when the hearts of the world are open, if only this much, to the source of all hopes. Let us, by our celebration, let us, by our personal witness, let us, by active acts of kindness and evangelism in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me just ask you, how many have the firm hope of eternity with God through Jesus Christ? How many of you would like to see those who don't have that hope join you? Then don't let these few weeks of expanded opportunity without an effort. I hadn't planned to say anything about this, but this is the heart of the Nativity Project that we have done, is to get the message of Jesus Christ out at Christmas. And I thank everybody who worked hard on the Nativity figures this year. There's quite a few of those things out in the community now, but we can do more. We should do more. It would be a shame if the opportunity passes and we have not introduced the hope of Jesus Christ to a hopeless heart. It may also be that there are those among us this morning who have not truly claimed this faith and hope for themselves yet and who need it. And if so, we give you this opportunity.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.